I think about the people I know who have started organizations, like these smaller emerging organizations, are all women.
They are.
They're all women.
Our peers are all women.
I think the chairs of boards, a lot of them are women. Mm-hmm. I think the people that we closely work with are female.
You know, Susanna Darrow starting Burnaway and all of us kind of starting at the same-ish time and, you know, brainstorming on how to rise above different issues together.
And it's also across the board in terms of practice, right? So T. Lang and Lori Stallings both working in choreography and dance. And then Erica Jameson working in visual arts with us, Susanna working in art criticism. And I think all of us collectively being inspired by each other and doing this cross-promotion and cross-pollination, I think it works really, really well. I think Atlanta supports its female creatives really, really well. And I think we spend a lot of time touting each other and making sure that we're giving everybody props. Like, I think we very rarely, if ever, feel competitive with people. And if there is an edge to that, it's more so to, like, keep each other going and, mm-hmm. like, good and innovative. We're pushing each other, but in a very open way, you know? I mean, I love them. And I think these women that we just named off, I think, are the ones doing exceptional work in this city that is making this city something that the international arts community is starting to really pay attention to.
But what about the actual makeup of artists in Atlanta?
I think that we get heavier on the male side. And I think we all have to be better to support female artists, ourselves included. We do think about diversity, for sure. We don't develop our shows around it, but we certainly right. think about it every time we have a show. Who's in it? What's the makeup? And I do notice that we're split down the middle, but sometimes we're a little male heavy. It's us, but it's also the artists. Like, we all need to be better about communicating with each other, and we need to be paying better attention, I think. It's definitely a hard nut to crack.
We've tried to figure out what that formula is.
I think it's kind of systemic. I think there's a thing that we have where we feel uncomfortable touting our own accomplishments, right? I think this is like a systemic gender issue where we get a little uncomfortable being like, we've done this stuff and we're so proud of ourselves and listen to what we've done. And I find that men are more comfortable doing that. And I think the general population is more accepting of men doing that. I think that women who do that get labeled something. And I think we're both hesitant to do that because we're the face of an organization that we never want to be seen as showboating. Right. And so I think women are showboats and men are successful. And so I think we're trying to figure out a way to be better about that. We've had this conversation and we're like, we need to be touting our own praises and we need to make sure we're doing that. And the women artists that I see do that, I think are positioning themselves in a really smart way. And so I think we need to be encouraging each other to do that more so than we do.
There is a hesitation to throw out the things that you have accomplished as a successful female because there's an almost assured fear that something, or there's just going to be this tinge of either animosity or that labeling of showboating that will come back at you.
Of like arrogance versus confidence. We live in a male-dominated world and we oftentimes work in male-dominated industries, and I'm speaking more so about property and development at this point with the spaces that we work in. And there's a lot of sexism that we face, and we have to gracefully remove ourselves or speak up, and we've been labeled all sorts of things.
There's sometimes whenever we talk about a situation that's happened and kind of try to gauge it, if we were men, what would have happened? For better or for worse, but like what would have happened? And oftentimes it would seem to be potentially a very different outcome, even different conversation, a very different beginning. The situation may not have even come around or happened had we been male. We put ourselves in very difficult situations to do what we do. And our dual female-run organization, now, there have been specific instances where our board members who are male were just with us because of their specific knowledge. An architect and a lawyer were with us. And a property owner wouldn't even look at us when he was talking. Mm-hmm. And we just walked away. And we were like, you know what? You're talking, we're a boss here. You know, and even our board members would, every time this man would talk to them, they would point at us and be like, you need to be talking to them. And he just almost couldn't wrap his head around it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it starts off like that, it's never going to get better in that relationship.
And there were a lot of factors to that, too. But we were ultimately like, why would we put ourselves in a position where we know it's going to be a constant uphill battle? Where there, of course, are property owners in the city that are not sexist and ageist. And I think we were dealing with both there. There's also been moments when we work with different bands that sometimes, I remember one specific instance, I was with one of our staff people and we were talking to a band and the band wouldn't even address me at all. And finally, our staff person was like, "She's the boss," and pointed at me. And he's like, "You should be talking to her about this." And they couldn't quite get their head around it. And then, you know, there was like a moment of like embarrassment that he had. But then there's also for me, being this aggressive person just isn't necessarily always in my nature. And I can certainly hold my ground when I need to. But like, it's just an interesting thing that we have to constantly look at and watch and observe and try to speak up against. And but then it can get exhausting, you know, because I look young. And so I often find myself in a professional setting having to speak first, having to speak loudly, having to use a certain vocabulary because I constantly have to prove myself and my worth and my experience and professionalism. I would find that in any professional setting. In the arts, it's no different. I've worked with youth a lot, and I always tell the women, I'm always like, make sure you speak first. Make sure you get your voice heard. Don't cower back. Just speak. Even if you're kind of nervous about it, just do it because you'll get more comfortable. But I think oftentimes we choose not to speak, especially in a male-dominated setting. To be really candid, because the way to like debunk this and work on it is to be like totally honest. But even when we have exhibitions and we have to edit down a piece or a show, it's kind of easier for us to go to a man and say, "Hey, can you cut this out?" And then with our female artists, we do find ourselves being a little bit more gentle and understanding, and it's kind of a different conversation that we have. And I have noticed myself doing that. And again, it's not something that I'm like, "That's great, well done, Beth." But it's something I've picked up on, and I know it's systemic, and it's this like institutionalized construct that I am trying to be more aware of and making sure that we have this even playing field for people. There are so many amazing women doing work in the arts community in Atlanta that I don't think are given enough attention, either by the media or by each other or by the greater creative class. I think that sometimes we get hung up on the same people.
Killer female artists that are doing some really clever stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it isn't often that they are the headliner